on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. Crunch Time, voted most outstanding radio program 2015 for Australian Property and Business Group. Invest today at apbgroup.com.au. And Ringwood Mazda, score a demo deal now.
Ball up there, Middlebury got it out. There is a very good snap. It's goal, Dudley! How about that? Dudley's snap was outstanding.
Over the top to DeGoey. It was good by Moore. And now side bottom. Surely this time the Pies. Barco decides to let it sail over his head for a goal. Got it moving to Cordy. Off to Clay Smith. Oh, he took one step too many. Still got it under the boot. And kicked the goal despite the duress he was under from Goldsack.
Darcy Moore got a couple to beat. Those couple one out. Ground level. Side bottom. Snap for a goal. Got it from Wills. Wills did a fantastic job. They handball it up. And side bottom did the rest.
Darcy Moore off the pack. Can't take the mark. Roberts under the punt. Moore did well. Got him out of the way. Won the football. Handball back to Phillips. And Tom Phillips does the rest. Off the left foot. They are all over the Bulldogs at the moment.
Kick away in a hurry in the finish. Ground level. Adams couldn't take it. Hunter. Crafty, a handball. Ling Chong. Light. Eyes wide open. He kicks another one for the Western Bulldogs.
Flair took them on tackle. Gave it up. And now the Dogs swarm off halfback cover. Daniel, dangerous kick. Well stolen though by Maynard. He works his way through onto the left boot. Oh. And he's kicked the goal. It's Wills. He's got to get it in there quickly. He knows it. It's all or nothing for the Pies. Jesse White heaves himself up Cartmark. Void clears. Siren sounds. The Bulldogs get over the line. Collingwood tried everything, but somehow they've done it again, the Bulldogs. They are the most resilient team you could possibly imagine.
I imagine it was probably a pretty good spectacle for the viewers. Heart was jumping out of the chest for most of the night, but yeah, I thought Collingwood threw the kitchen sink at us. Yeah, it was an enormous effort in the end just to arrest it.
The amazing Bulldogs prove once again that they know how to win. But can they score enough to trouble the contenders in September? Veteran star Matthew Boyd will join us shortly.
It's got to be minimum effort for us, and we brought the right intent. Tried to play our brand of footy for four quarters. And it was a marginal result in the end.
A thrilling game, but the pressure is still on the Pies, who come up short again. But out of their year of disappointment, there is much to like, and the brightest light of all, Darcy Moore, will join us.
Torn pec, so 3 to 4 weeks, they're saying. It's not a bad result, could have been off the bone, but still miss a few.
They probably look like a team that deserves a concession pick at the end of the year. If you're that far behind everyone else, you get a leg up, that's how the AFL works.
He wanted more senior responsibility under Luke Beveridge, and they weren't able to give that to him, so that led to this decision of him to leave.
Are you as confident as you were a week or two ago of him being an Essendon player next year?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Michael, I'm very confident, will be fun for Essendon.
The draft is meant to be cyclical. It's meant to send teams up the table and pull the top teams back, and that's not happening at the moment. We want to make some changes to the draft.
The crunch is all about player and coaching movement, potential changes to the drafting system. We also ask who has the best forward line for the finals. Should Nick Riewoldt be the captain next year at the Saints? And we'll have another fascinating edition of Derm's Diaries as we ask how Alistair Clarkson almost didn't end up as coach of the Hawks. It's another big edition of Crunch Time. With thanks to Australian Property and Business Group, you can invest today. With all the details, go to apbgroup.com.au and Ringwood Mazda. Score a demo deal now. Is there just a hint of September and spring about the weather? Maybe only a slight hint, but we're certainly hanging on here as we get ready for a big afternoon of football on 1116 SEN. And it all starts here at the MCG. We're together on Crunch Time. With thanks to Australian Property and Business Group, if you're an accountant or a financial advisor, make sure you go to apbgroup.com.au and check out all the details for your clients. So if you're an individual client, you can do the same. And Ringwood Mazda, yes, the team is back with some sensational demo deals, which are available now out there at Ringwood Mazda. Matthew Boyd to join us and Darcy Moore after one of the most exciting games of the season. Certainly the second half was thrilling stuff with the pressure. The Pies fall short. The Dogs have I think that's five wins, totaling 28 points or something this year that they've had, plus the close loss to the Hawks. They are quite an amazing team at the moment. A big day of footy ahead. Dermot Brereton, Terry Wallace in the chair as our expert, ex-superstars. Welcome to you, Derm.
Morning, gents.
And welcome to you, Terry.
Hello. Hello, gentlemen. How are we going? Friday night footy, live and well.
It was a great night of footy. And, of course, our ex-superstar from Sandhurst, Mark Robinson.
Hello, Otto.
He joins us
great
as well.
To see you. I've seen you every night this week. I'm getting sick of you.
Yeah,
I'm sure worried. Vice versa.
Yeah.
How are you, Plough? Hello, Derm.
Hello, Robbo.
How good was the game last night?
I loved how Collingwood came back. 3 goals down just before half-time. And you're thinking, right, the procession will start soon. Collingwood have given a yelp for about 45 minutes, and the Doggies just might overpower them and just give their forwards unlimited access to having pings at it from here in. And they rallied. They were at Adam Treloar. I made a statement last night. They've played, what have they played now, 20 games, the Magpies. I've probably seen half a dozen live. I've probably seen another 9 or so on TV. That might have been the best. I'm sure he's got a 40 possession game in there somewhere. I think he got 34 last night. But that might have been the best one for him in Magpie cards. He dragged them up late in that second quarter, and some of his efforts were just outstanding.
Well, I saw it marginally different. At one stage there, when Collingwood came at the Bulldogs, I sat back and went, Treloar.
Side bottom.
Adams. Side bottom was best on the ground at half-time.
First half, yeah, and then shut down completely after that.
And Pendlebury, I thought, they've got probably the best 4 midfielders on the ground. How are the Doggies, you know, with no Liberatore there, no Wallace, how are they actually going to get this job done? But they just find a way. And what they did, 2 blokes, really, to me, turned it. It takes everyone to get the job done, but Bontempelli stepping up and picking, going and doing a job on side bottom, who was totally out of control, I thought those 2 players lifted and rallied the rest of the team.
Okay, we know he's a good player, Marcus Bontempelli. We know he's a good player. At 20 years of age, I can't remember. Dermot, you go back around about the same time as me, of watching you watch. You played, of course, I didn't. Plough, you go back just a couple of years further. Can you think of another 20-year-old who has who has the capacity? Now, Judd's, Herald Sun did a package recently. No other 20-year-old, including Judd.
What about Fife?
He's doing what this. No, Fife was good, but he wasn't doing this.
He's a little older, was he?
Yeah, he wasn't doing this. Mm. I can't recall a 20-year-old having this much impact on a game of football.
He's amazing. Couple of things. I heard him interviewed last week after the North Melbourne game, and there were a couple of the young boys had just come into the side, and he was sitting there with the interviewer sort of saying, well, it's good that these kids can come in and, you know, fill a role for us. He's 20 himself. I'm sitting there just laughing.
Every young player does that. Once he plays a dozen games, he's looking forward to the next wave.
And he sees himself as the man.
He's physically... like he could be 26 or 27.
Correct.
And he's done in the gym. They say he's massive in the gym. And I mean, and obviously mentally and spiritually, he's a leader already.
No doubt.
That mental stuff. And can you talk about that, the mental side? Because we all know him physically. The mental side for him to do what he's doing and stand up in big moments.
Well, let's go back to a couple of years ago at Etihad Stadium when they played Melbourne and he kicked that goal on twisting goal on the boundary line. How many games? He would have only been a handful of games.
Played 6 minutes of football at that stage.
At that stage. And for a kid to be able to do that at that stage, and we saw Gresham do it earlier on this year, but you just sort of sensed he was that type of person who would take the big moments and go with them. And the thing that I love about him, Dermot, is that he doesn't get big numbers. Yeah, a lot of people, you go on social media and they want to push up Paddy Cripps versus him, and they sort of say, well, have a look at Cripps' numbers, they're higher. But he's big impact. He makes the right decisions always at the right times. He gets forward of the ball as well. He doesn't get them in the back half of the ground. He gets them in the right positions. He gets them through the central corridor. He's a serious player.
The thing I really find intriguing about him is, and we mentioned Judd before, for winning the ball in the deepness of a heavy pack, Judd had raw power and sidestep and the acceleration and power through the thighs and hips to get out and be rolling forward, making his mind up what he was going to do with the ball at his select. He was incredible. This kid's nowhere near as powerful off the mark. He gets to the outside with guile. He steps, he waves the ball around, a little bit Cooter-like on occasions. Mm, yep. Holds in one hand, waves it around. The Cripps does that as well.
Dances left and right like Pendlebury.
Yeah, but he's able to buy himself time and he gets out from out. Some blokes panic kick the ball out, and if you win in it, great. And they hack kick the ball out of the thick of the pack.
Pendlebury was the comparison when he first came in, but
was he?
Yeah, but he's become.
He's a got a. He's a bigger brute than Pendlebury ever was.
He's a better mark. He can take. Well, he can go forward
big,
and take
strong,
mark.
Mm. Yeah.
He's just an exciting player.
I thought he was very good.
And I love it when you.
I underrated him.
Did you really?
Yes.
I love it when I love it when former players. We've got two of them here, but I love listening to the former champs because you guys need some. Convincing that someone's a good player. You don't just open the door after a couple of games and say, welcome, you're a good player. You can come in. You guys mark players hard.
This bloke can get best on ground with 18 possessions, and there's not too many players. Morris Rioli was one that I remember.
Yep.
Well, Morris was, I used to play a Morris. Morris, you let him get it 15, 20 times, he's going to kill you.
Freakish.
So this young man has that ability.
Matthew Boyd's going to join us soon. Can we will talk to Darcy Moore and talk all about the Pies after that, so we can take your calls if you've got thoughts on the Pies and the whole Buckley situation. But did we solve anything on the Dogs in terms of beating good teams in finals, scoring enough? Is that still the major problem for them? Stringer, as good as Bontempelli's going, Stringer's the complete opposite at the moment.
Well, early in the game, I mean, it was Dunkley, Cordy kicking their goals.
Cordy was okay.
Oh, Dunkley and Cordy, I mean, they... Those two guys in particular, try their guts out. Mm. I mean, they are seriously tough young men who put their head over the ball. But I don't know whether you're getting to deep into September and having them having major impact forward, as forwards in finals.
I really like Cordy's competitiveness. I like the way he came at the footy. He looks like he's got a reasonable pair of hands. One thing I'd say, though, is looking at his kicking action. He got a couple last night. If he hasn't had any outings similar to what Levi Casbell or Jonathan Butcher show us when they're kicking for goals, he's going to. He is an awfully, awfully flawed kicking action.
Well, he won't survive.
Well, as an under 18...
He won't survive.
Well, hopefully he works something out.
As an under 18, he was a defender. I mean, that was his role, was lockdown defender, and that's really what they brought him to the football club for. But obviously with issues in their forward line, players going down, they've sort of said, just go down there and compete.
Hardo mentioned Jake Stringer. At the start of the year, I know not many people have read it, but I did a top 50 and I had Jake Stringer at 10.
You're willing to bash yourself up today,
no,
aren't you?
No, it's all right. But I
read it.
Right, I had Jake Stringer at 10. He kicked 50-odd goals last
56?
Year. At 22. I thought, where is this kid going? We are looking at something freaky. He kicked 5 goals in the first game, and everyone's going, wow. God, he's had a disappointing year, Doom. And is it physical? Is it change of role? He said he's getting more time in the midfield.
How many touches do you think he had at half-time last night, Robbo?
I would have said 4 or 5.
2.
That's not enough.
Touched the ball twice
man
in the first half.
It's just not enough. Is it mental? Is it, the year after he's announced himself Blues? Is it he needs... They haven't got the right mix. Is the way they bring in their forward lines a problem for Jake?
No, and no.
What is it?
He hasn't given himself the right job description. Tell me his size and shape. He's 192 centimetres. What is he, 90? 91, 92 kilos? He's plenty big to rough it up with anyone. The amount of times he runs to the drop of the ball and then within 2 seconds of the ball on its flight path about to drop, he pulls out of the contest and wants to crumb it. And he doesn't... And he's a powerful, powerful beast. To me, he's looking for maximum reward from minimum effort and minimum contact to him. And he's brave, but he's like, at the moment, he's wanting to play his footy without suffering any body punishment. Remember when he ran through last night and he went to one hand to drag the ball through? When it was the second quarter, I think. That was and I know Bevo would see that and go and have a chat to him. We would have been taken off the ground for that. Don't you ever let your teammates down like that. If you don't beeline the ball like that, he ran through the line of the ball and put his arm off the line of the ball. Yeah. Put his arm, didn't gather it.
Just try to grab it one hand on the
and
run.
And miss all the contact. He had to accept that he was going to take contact and then give the ball out. He wanted to be on the move and not having to stop in the heat.
This is a 12-week thing. This is a 15-week thing. This has not just happened last night.
Well, he has to reassign his own thought process to say, you know what? I'm going to take some punishment.
Just before you go with that, Robbo, his last 3 minutes, to me, was the only time he showed urgency, because all of a sudden the scoreboard said,
yeah, you're right,
we've got 3 minutes to go and we've got to win this game. And all of a sudden he's throwing himself. He was physical. But it was because the scoreboard says.
What do you do as coach then, Terry, with a player like that?
Oh, I still think you always push them up rather than hit them over the head. I'd be going back to the tape of what he did in the last 3 minutes and say, where is this? For the rest of the game, show him what you're expecting of him. And to me, it was triggered, absolutely triggered, by the fact that we've got to win this game. I think that I can have an impact, go back to Port Adelaide.
So he's got that, I'm the man attitude. He's got that, but he's not working hard enough at other times to be the man
that gets them there. Yeah.
He was asked earlier this year.
Why wouldn't you take him aside one-on-one, take him into a room with his disc, his tape, whatever you want to call it now. What do they call it?
Cassette tape. Yeah.
Showing the one you're talking about in the second
show
quarter.
Show him that. Yep. Show him the other efforts which were substandard for what he's capable of, and say, you be the judge of that. Now look at what you did in the last 3 minutes.
Yep,
I need this from the first bounce.
All right, 26 minutes past 11. This is Crunch Time with thanks to Australian Property and Business Group and Ringwood Mazda. Every Saturday morning from 11. And Matthew Boyd, the Western Bulldogs defender, who was very, very important for them again last night, coming back into the team over the last couple of weeks, joins us. Matty, thanks for your time and congratulations on getting over the line on another thriller.
Yeah, another thriller. We seem to continue to put ourselves in those situations, don't we? Just getting over the line, but yeah, it's a sign of a resilient side, I suppose, winning those close ones.
Yeah, it's better to be on that side of the ledger than the other, that's for sure. Yeah. How did you feel during the match about, I mean, it was clearly one of those games of momentum. You seemed to be on top in the first half, and then Collingwood found some goals, and then it all sort of happened again in the second and went down to the wire. But what was your feeling like in terms of who had the edge, who was in more control in the game out on the field?
Well, to be honest, it didn't feel like either teams had real control over the game. As you mentioned, it was a game of momentum and shifts and, you know, a couple of goals here and there, but it just felt like a bit of an arm wrestle, to be honest, and it didn't feel like either team really got on top. And it was probably, you know, it showed in the result in the end, 3 points. It could have gone either way. If the game had gone for two more minutes, you never know what might have happened. So we were probably lucky to get away with it. Collingwood were really good. And as I said, we keep finding a way to win those close games, which is really important for us.
Matthew, well done last night. Congratulations. We're talking about how good Bontempelli is. And even now that we're saying he's very, very good, we still might be underselling him.
Oh, he's quite a remarkable young man. He just continues to impress and continues to stand up at crucial moments of the game. He played a role for us. He's done it the last couple of weeks, actually. And when you get your best player to play a team role, it's, and for him just to put his hand up and say, you know, worries, it's a sign of a really strong character. And he probably didn't get a lot of the ball in the first half, but it certainly got rewarded in the second half with a lot of the ball and kicked a few crucial goals for us. So it just goes from strength to strength, really.
Now, can I ask you, I mean, you've been redeployed down back, but at training, you still do some competitive work, you guys. If you're up against Marcus Bontempelli at training, and he sometimes plays as a forward, you're predominantly, a backman now, what do you have to look for? What does he do to you as an opposition player? What does he do to you that you can't deal with?
Well, when I get matched up against Bont at training, I pretty much just walk off the track nowadays. I'm not gonna put myself through that sort of stuff. I'll leave that to the opposition. But I think the thing about him is he's got great reach, and I think as a midfielder, I mean, he's 6'3" or 6'4". He's got really long arms, so it makes it really difficult to match up on. And he's you probably see on the ground, he's not super quick.
Pond.
In terms of pure leg speed, but his ability to move sideways and find space when no one else can really find it is one of the hardest things to combat, I believe. And he's got great skills both sides of the body. So, I mean, he's turning himself into a complete player. And at 20 years old, that's pretty impressive.
Well done, Bordy. You're playing well, mate, but we'll just stick on Bontempelli for a second. What's his mentality around the football club? Because young people can at times start thinking, hey, I've got this caper under control, Doom.
Why'd you talk to Doom when you said that?
Everyone's telling me, I'm reading and hearing how great I am. What sort of character has he got?
Oh, he's got an unbelievable character. He's got great values. He's just a very grounded young man. And he probably does realise the sort of talent that he's got. And he goes in the games with a lot of confidence that what he brings to the table is really, really quite good. And it's going to be very hard to combat if he's on song. But his attitude to work, his attitude to do the team things, he's just he's a super young player. I mean, I can't speak highly enough of him, and he works his butt off for training. He always is striving to get better. He, as I said, he probably knows he's got a lot of talent, but he's really willing and prepared to do all the hard things and all the little things to get himself to the next level, and he's getting there really quick.
Boydie, Lin Zhong was put in a pretty awkward situation, or put himself in a pretty awkward situation not that long ago. He comes up against the side that he was there in the media, all over the media a few weeks ago, and plays like he did last night. The couple of goals that he kicked in the third quarter really set you guys up.
Yeah, he's been really good for us the last couple of weeks, Johnny. I thought last week his hardness and his courage to go back with a flight and just some stuff he did at the coalface was really important for us. And again, last night, he showed that he's starting to put a bit of polish on his game, which is what we've been after from Jongi for a little while now. And he's worked really hard to be able to ice some of the really hard work that he's doing in tight. I thought he was great again last night. A lot's been, I guess, spoken about the injuries that we've had and depleted midfield and all that sort of stuff, but we have guys like Jongi and Dunks and Webby who just continue to stand up and drive the group forward, and it's a credit to those boys.
Boydie, just staying with Lin Zhong, how did the club handle it, and as leaders, how do you get around to a guy and just work your way through that sort of situation to make sure that he's able to play the footy that he played last night?
I mean, we dealt with it really quickly, and we didn't make it too serious a situation. We made a bit of a joke out of it, and we made him feel comfortable as soon as he walked in the doors again that first day when it was out in the news. So, we didn't make a big deal about it. The reality of footy nowadays, and it is a big business, and guys' livelihoods are on the line and all that sort of stuff. The reality is that guys are probably looking at different options to see, where they can progress their career and get the most out of it. So you can't really hang your bloke out to dry. You just got to accept it and move on, and that's what we did really quickly.
We've gone half an hour in here and we've hardly talked about Marcus Picken, but I would think internally you guys would be... Oh, Marcus is his brother.
No, it's his brother.
He gets a lot of... Him gets called Liam Pickering Marcus Picken.
Because I coach Marcus at the Bulldogs. Liam, I think you guys would have spoke about him so regularly in your discussions and will do in the lead-up because, geez, what he did in that second half going on to Sidebottom. Sidebottom was out of control and he's such a warrior for you.
He certainly is a warrior. That second half that he played last night was one of the best halves of footy for our team that I've seen for a long time. You're right, he was out of control. I think he had 18 and kicked two goals in the first half.
Spot on, yeah.
So he was looking pretty dangerous for them. He looked like he was the one player for Collingwood who was going to be able to break it open for him and take the game away from us. And you know, our plan A didn't work so well in the first half, so we went to plan B, which is a pretty good plan B. And if someone gets off, you know, off the chain, you just go, righto, Pico, off you go, mate, do your work. So he did that, and he was unreal. And some of the hits, he's not a big guy, Liam, but he hits to hurt. And there was an incident late in the game against, I think it was Goldsack, and I was about 50 metres away, and I heard them hit, and Pico just bounced straight back up, and I just thought, how? How does that happen? How do you get back up from that? But
he's fearless. He is fearless.
Yeah, that was a brutal clash, massive. Wasn't it, that one?
Yeah, it was a big hit, and it's just what Pico does. It's how he plays, and it's why we love him. So
some blokes get hit, body, and you know that upstairs the pain doesn't travel all the way through the receptors to the brain. He strikes me as one of those.
I'm not sure what you're getting at, Derm.
Some blokes don't feel the pain. He seems to be one of them.
Yeah, I thought you might be questioning you. I don't know.
Well, I did play on his old man.
Yeah, no, he's tough. He's tough. He's bred.
Oh, he's tough, all right.
And I play with Marcus Pickens, Cleo, and he was tough too. He hit me once at training, straight up the middle, and I did not want to get back up. They're bred tough, the Pickens.
Great conversation. But hey, mate, are you signing a contract extension soon?
Oh, gee whiz. I don't know. You have to ask the club if I...
Oh, come on, mate. Just tell the truth. You know it's around the corner.
The footy's a funny game, boys, so we'll just wait and see how it plays out.
Notice that.
That's a pathetic answer.
Do you notice that, Boydie? Two ex-players up the back, silent, and the two media guys, oh, come on.
It's not major. Dale Morris signed during the week. We had Bob on 360 on Tuesday, Boydie, and I put it to him. I said, Morris has signed, and I'm hearing Boyd's going to just about to sign. And he didn't bat that down, and I wasn't asking you how much you're going to get paid, Boydie. I was just talking to you about, seriously, to go from where you were playing in the midfield to a back flank, and then having, what, be your third into your fourth year if you sign again as a halfback flanker. Well, it's not a halfback flanker, a quarterback role. It's been a fantastic transition for you.
Is it easier on your body, Boydie?
Oh, yeah, I think it is. You just don't get the brutality in the contested stuff. I mean, the hits that you get as an inside mid takes its toll over the course of the year. So there's definitely that, but there's different demands from the role I play, I suppose. It's more of a burst, and I know I'm not exactly a burst player. I'm not the speediest bloke going around, but the high intensity running that we measure pretty rigorously, that's definitely increased on what you do as an inside mid. So there's different demands, but yeah, the hits certainly don't come as hard.
Can I ask you, you mentioned Bontempelli, he's got enormous reach. There was a bloke in the other colours last night, young fella who ran into the fence, but his reach, Darcy Moore, was creating problems.
Yeah.
What did you as the senior citizen of that back line and organising everybody else, you obviously had to give Roberts, Hamling, all those boys who were on and off him and swung onto him, you had to give them some direction. What was the instruction?
Yeah, so I think Darcy enjoys playing against us. He's kicked a few bags against us, and he looked like he was going to get dangerous again last night. We identified during the week that he's a bit of a run and jump player. He likes to get a run and a bit of a launch at it, and that's something that we talked about. And I just sort of said to some of the boys, make sure we body him up and don't let him have a free jump at it, because once he gets his arms up in the air, he's very hard to stop. So it was more a bit of a cueing those boys into, you know, making sure that they engage him early and try and disturb his run as much as possible. So, with, you know, legally, obviously, you can't take your eyes off the ball. But I think once we sort of did that, it was able to nullify his influence a little bit more.
A lot of eyebrows raised during the week, Matty, when Brett Montgomery's departure was announced so close to finals. He's been a player at the club. He's obviously been around for 6 years and an integral part of a couple of different coaching setups. Were you surprised?
Oh, look, things happen in footy, and I suppose the thing with Monty,
you know, I really rate him. He's a fantastic coach and sees the game extremely well. And with Monty, he's got aspirations to, I guess, progress his career and go to new levels. And sometimes by the end of the year, it's probably a little bit too late to pursue those other options that might be on the table at this stage of the year. So I think for the club and for Monty to be able to go and go after some of those opportunities, it was important for him to, I suppose, get out there while the season's still going and give him the best opportunity going forward. So,
what about the potential effect for you guys, though?
Oh, we've dealt with a lot of different issues over the course of the year and the last couple of years, and the group is pretty unflappable, really. A lot of things happen, and we don't really feel the effects of them. So hopefully, you know, we don't feel the effects. I know Chris Maple came down and took over his role as the bench coach and did a really good job last night. So you know, from a playing perspective, hopefully we don't feel it. And I don't think we will to too much extent.
Matty, how is it that Ling Jong can go to Collingwood and he's welcome back into the group and everyone makes a joke out of it, but Monty's looking, you know, maybe wants to go to another place, and Beveridge says, well, you're either with us or against us, you're out the door, see you later. How does that marry up?
Yeah, I don't think it was as simple as that, Robbo, but yeah, I mean, you know, there's complexities within footy clubs and within the industry, so Jongy's a player, and we need him out there to play. And you know, I mean, it's a difficult one for me to answer because I don't know all the ins and outs of it, obviously. But you know, Monty wants to pursue other options, and you've got to give him an opportunity to get out there.
Senior coach Matthew, is he like, seriously? No one knows not much about the assistant coaches. It's all from what people say about them.
Yeah, no. Well, he's doing the level 4 coaching course at the moment, which there's only 8 coaches across the country who are doing it. So he's obviously, I rate him really highly, and he's obviously rated very highly within the industry. So I think there's definitely aspirations for him to be a senior coach, and I think he'll make a good one.
You've just come back into the toilet, have you? You're echoing now.
I was outside. It got a bit windy. I'm actually out with the family shopping. Trying to do some normal things. So,
what are you buying?
We're looking for a new couch, so we just got to get out there and sit on a few and test them out.
So we don't want to turn it into an autograph signing session, but where are you shopping?
I might keep that one to myself.
Very good. Matty, congratulations. It's been an incredible ride so far. You've been so resilient as a club and as a team, and the big challenge is still to come, but we wish you all the best. Thanks for being with us.
No worries, guys. Thanks for having me.
Matty Boyd joining us. Terrific story. His career rejuvenated in defence, and tough for him to answer the questions there about...
He was a bit of a hack at forward mid, wasn't he?
He was running around. Frankston Reserves, Western Bulldogs, because I was there when Matty arrived at the club.
So Scott, you found him?
Scotty Clayton had followed him as an under 18 and come to me and sort of said that he won the best and fairest at the reserves at Frankston, and sort of said, this is a kid who's tough, who I think you'll like the way that he plays his footy. Can we give him a chance late in the draft? And he sort of said, he'll kill for you. And I sort of said, well, if you reckon he'll do that, let's give him a run.
Yeah. And right. You're a good-sized midfielder in the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're 6'1", 14-stoner. Yeah.
We need to take a break. It's 17 minutes to 12. Darcy Moore's going to join us next. If you've got a thought on last night's game as a Pies fan, you can join us for a discussion there as well, 942-911-16. But we'll speak to Darcy first. And then we've cleared some time to chat about player and potentially coach movement. So the big hottest issues. We'll also stay tuned because we'll have the latest too on O'Meara. Hayden Ballantyne's a really surprising one that's sort of come out of nowhere that he's asked for out release, at Fremantle. Also Prestia, we'll talk about that. But Mick Malthouse last night in Mick's Moments talked about Nathan Buckley, the player, and captain, had some fascinating insights into Bucks as a player. We'll replay some of that. Stay tuned. And, of course, Doom's Diaries later on about why Terry didn't end up coaching the Hawks instead of Clark.
How is that, Durmstone?
I don't want to start a fight today, but it's going to be pretty much on.
Darcy Moore next. Thanks to Australian Property and Business Group. More on that in a moment. And Ringwood Mazda.